Praise God. It's so good to be in His house today. Amen. What a good God. We want to say I'm glad to have each one of you here. We appreciate you for being in church with us today. We're grateful of the Lord. I'm thankful for all of you that joined in and just give God praise and glory and honor. He deserves all the glory, all the honor and the praise, and we're just so thankful for the Lord. Today we're going to continue in the series we've been in, talking about what Jesus says, and how many know that what He says is important? Amen? Amen. So we don't mind quoting other folks, but sometimes I don't know if we quote Him enough. So that's what we've been doing in this series, going over all the words of Jesus in a chronological way. Starting from the age of 12, we have the first words, and it moves on from there. And right now where we're at is on the Sermon on the Mountain. Now, how many know if Jesus, how many has ever said this or heard it said that somebody might say, well, I like the way he preaches. Or maybe you have a favorite preacher. But how many know when Jesus preached, we ought to pay attention to it? So that's what I've been looking at is what Jesus said. Now, I'm interested in all the stuff that Peter said. I'm interested in what Paul said. I'm interested in what those guys said, but they don't come before Jesus. Tell me, understand that. So what I need to do is I need to know what Jesus said, so if I check out what they say, it's got to match. How many does that make sense to you? If Paul said something, he can't contradict what Jesus said. Can he? Well, no, he can't. Nor can Peter contradict what Jesus said. So, see, what happens is everybody says, I like reading about the Apostle Paul. Well, we all do. But we have to first study and understand what Jesus said and why he said what he said. I think that's important for us to grab hold to. And so that's what we've been looking at. And we're looking at the Beatitudes. And we went over the first four of the Beatitudes, and we'll look at some things here concerning that. Just a quick review. Won't be able to cover all those. If you'd like to have them, they're available in the back. You just ask in the back, and they'll give you a copy of it. But we talked about the first four. With quick review, we'll cover some of that and then move on. But today, I'm going to be talking about mercy. Mercy. How many know that? He said, blessed are the merciful. Why? For they shall obtain mercy. How many want mercy? Amen. What's a way that you can guarantee yourself that mercy will come to you? By being merciful. Amen? So we see that. And this is Jesus' words. And so let's look at the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus' most comprehensive statement about our role in cooperating with grace. And I mentioned this right off the bat. So this slide, you've seen it before, but I wanted to repeat what I had said. We need faith teaching to equip us to experience grace and walk out the eight Beatitudes. Without faith teaching, you're not going to walk it out. Because you have to embrace this wonderful grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith. It's not anything we can do. It's the grace of God. But embracing that is important and understanding it. Well, Jesus, nobody embraced it better than he did. You know, how many know that Peter was an incredible guy? He was. But he had error in his life. Paul was a great guy. But he had error in his life. And a lot of times people don't read Paul's writings and see where he had any error. But he says this. He says, when I want to do right, I don't do it. What does that mean? When I try to do good, he said, evil is present. For this I sought the Lord. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. So he had some stuff going on. But we never find that in the life of Jesus, do we? We don't find issue. We don't find sin. We don't find iniquity. None of that is found in the life of Jesus. That's why his words are important to us. And I believe in our world today, we have drifted from the words of Jesus. Jesus, in the minds of most people around the world, is a different guy. He's a different guy. Jesus is just the guy that loves everybody, and as the world views it, including everybody's sin. But that's not what he said. We have to go back and look at what he said. That's what we're doing here. And so remember, these are important principles. The first four Beatitudes are attitudes that the world sees as negative qualities. Yet Jesus spoke them. The world doesn't. And so you have to get, you know how most people say, well, you're a Christian. Well, absolutely, I'm a Christian. Well, we can, there's a way to determine what's Christian and what's not. When you just start saying the things Jesus said and how you view them. If you view the things Jesus said in a negative way, then I put a question mark whether or not you're a Christ follower. The world views or sees these as negative qualities. We are to be poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Remember, we talked about that I think we took both Sunday morning and Sunday night to talk about poor in spirit. He said, mourn for more. Blessed are those who mourn. And then the meek shall inherit the earth. We talked about that. The meek. And then hungering and thirsting for God. See, the world views those have negative qualities. We don't need any of that. We're just all good people. I mean, no, our goodness is not going to satisfy God. That's why we had to have a Savior. There were good people in the world before Jesus came. But when God added up everybody's goodness, according to who He is, talking about God, the Most High God, who He is, He said the righteousness of man is as filthy rags. There's none good, not one. So we have a Savior. That's why we have a Savior. Born into the world. To redeem mankind. Now, He was tempted in all points just like we are. That means he felt everything that was ever done. He was emotional about all those things. He had every aspect of what you and I have. He had it. Yet He never sinned. Then it satisfied God. So His blood, and only His blood. That's why no man, that means woman, boy, girl, doesn't matter, can go to the Father except through Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father except through Him. And so that's important for us to understand. So if we can't go to the Father except through Jesus, we have to pay close attention to the words of Jesus. The second thing is the first, we're going to talk about, well, I'm just reviewing here. The second four Beatitudes are attitudes that the world sees as positive qualities. We seek to be merciful with the sins and weaknesses of others. We seek to be pure. We make peace and to endure in persecution without complaining. So the world views these and says, well, that's not so bad. You know, that's what we want. So we have these summits, right? They have these peace summits, which is a bunch of waste of time because they don't know God. You can have all the summits you want. Until you have an encounter with God through Jesus, your motive for peace is an agenda. It's attached to it. That's what it is. So it's all a big fake. And so, but if the news can twist it and fine-tune it in just the right way, then everything appears to be good. So you can have a good side and a bad side. How many know that people view the world system as there's a good side and a bad side? How many know about God's side? How many want to be on God's side? So you got to watch which one you pick. Because you can pick what you believe to be the good side. You can pick the one that seems to have... you ever heard this term? Well, they're more conservative. Well, they're liberal. And so you have to decide what you're going to pick. I'm going to tell you, give you a suggestion here. Why don't you pick God's side? Why don't you stand upon the principles of the Word? If the Word of God says it, then that's what we want to abide by, right? And so these are the principles that Jesus taught and the things He spoke of. So today, we're going to look at that seventh verse of 5, Matthew 5, and we're going to deal with that one verse. Hopefully we can get through all of this and maybe tonight we'll go on to something else. But He says this, blessed are the merciful. How many want to be merciful? And so dealing with that verse of Scripture, I think it's important as a continuing of what we've been dealing with on this message that Jesus preached. Verse 7 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. In some of your translations, it might say obtain mercy. But look at this verse as we continue to look at these verses of Scripture and bring ourselves to understand this through the Word of God. I believe that God will open up us a clear insight to how we're to behave on a regular basis. So one of the things that Jesus says to His crowd, now remember, this is a mixed crowd. He's not just talking. He don't have his disciples sitting there and the doors are closed and he's talking inside with his disciples. He's on the mountainside and there's a lot of people there, a lot of different people, people from different backgrounds and walks and beliefs. And he's speaking these words and he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Well, there might have been some in the crowd saying, "Well, that's me. That's me right there. I live that one out on a daily basis." You know, and then maybe there was some in that crowd that says, "Well, you just don't know what they did to me." You see, because the moment Jesus says it, it's automatically, when the word goes forth and it's truth, it automatically is going to be a mirror or a reflection for where you are. It's very precise and it pinpoints. Because remember, what did Jesus say? He said, "These words are not mine." Well, who were they? If they weren't his words, what words were they and where did they come from? He said, "These words are not mine." Because there's a distinction. How many know there's a distinction between God the Father and the Son? There's a very clear distinction. He says, "These words are not mine." Where'd they come from? They come from the Father. All he is there is delivering the message. They're not my words. So he says, "Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy." Where'd those words come from? Come from the Father. Remember that. They're from the Father. It wasn't Jesus' own mind and his own thinking to speak these words. He didn't put this message together after he surveyed the crowd. You know, we can easily do that. We can survey the crowd and we can say, "Well, you know, I need to touch on this subject because we know how bad they need this." Huh? I'm going to touch on this because I know they're living in that. That's not what Jesus did. He didn't survey the crowd and say, "I'm going to come up with these words." He spoke the words that the Lord gave to him by his Spirit. By the Spirit. That's what we're dealing with on Thursday. By his Spirit. So Jesus, when he says, "Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy," he was getting that directly from the Father. So he spoke those words, and he did it with an authority. And so he didn't survey the crowd. He was making sure that they understood that. And remember this. I can't tell you how important it is for us to grab hold to the things that Jesus said and begin to apply them in our life. First thing we'll look at, receiving and giving mercy is essential to our happiness and greatness. Being merciful is not a call to be casual about sin with unsanctified mercy. And that's important. Very important. We got to make sure that we don't, because if it's wrong and it's against God, then we have to stand upon what's against God. Because there's such a thing as unsanctified mercy. In other words, nothing's wrong because I'm just going to be merciful about everything. Well, that's something that you have to carefully look at, especially as the Lord leads you to understanding his word. God is equally merciful, holy, and just. How many understand that? But God is not going to allow sin to be without put in question, right, or punished. That'll happen. God gives mercy to give his people a new beginning so they would fear God. In Psalms 103, verse 4, I have it there for you. "But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared." And he's speaking of Yahweh there. "There is forgiveness with you that you may be feared." How many know we serve a forgiving God? He forgives. How can God forgive? Because he gave his only son that you and I could have the opportunity to be free from our iniquity. Though our sins were as scarlet, when we accept Christ in our life, there's something that we've been given. Now, giving us Christ is the mercy that God extends to us. I remember David. David had some issues in his life. He's a man that loved the Lord. He was described as a man after God's own heart. Now, that's pretty powerful words to be said about somebody. Amen? But he had some issues. He got off and got himself in trouble. Anybody ever been there? Well, you lack some communicating with God and got yourself in trouble. Maybe said, "Well, let's just see what happens here." And you eased off a little bit. Before you knew it, you were so far gone you couldn't get it back in the road. And so that's what happened to David. It went from one thing to the next to the next. But then he realized something. He said, I'm absolutely crazy to be acting this way. For pleasure, I'm giving up everything. So he repented. He fell on his face and he repented before God. And he said, I have sinned before you. I and only I have sinned. I did these things. And what did God do? He showed him mercy. He forgave him and showed him mercy. Did God have to do that? Well, he didn't have to, but he showed him mercy for a reason. Now, let me tell you, God used the prophet Nathan to tell him. He said, listen, you go tell him. The prophet Nathan said, this is what you did. So he didn't overlook his iniquity, but he did show him mercy. He had mercy upon him. That's why David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And that's what we have to understand. Mercy follows us every day. If we're being merciful. See, there's a condition to mercy. Somebody said, well, you know, I'm just glad God's merciful to me. And when it comes to your situation with somebody else, your encounter, whatever it is that may have gone, you still have to extend yourself and be merciful to that person. Because how do you obtain mercy? How do you obtain mercy? By being merciful. By being merciful. And we'll look at it later on about sowing and reaping. I mean, you know, if you sow, whatever you sow, you'll reap. That's a law. That's a law. You can't get around that law. My dad went to the store and there were some plants. Him and my mom were looking and they had a tag on the plants and it said blood oranges. So my dad says, I want blood oranges. Get me them blood oranges, Gloria. What that says? She said, blood oranges. So I'm getting them. So he gets the blood orange trees. And he goes home and he gets the shovel, plants the trees. And then things start growing. And they grow beautiful. I mean, they're nice trees. I seen them the other day. They're nice. And they're loaded down with grapefruit. Because I don't care what he wanted. It don't make a difference what he wanted. He planted a grapefruit tree, and what he got? He might want blood oranges, but he didn't get that. He said, I'm cutting them things down, and they sour grapefruit. Aren't they? Aren't they sour? You know why? There's a law at work. Whatever you sow, that's what you reap. You can't go against that law. You don't have to be saved for that law to be enacted either. It's just a law. It's a law of nature. Whatever you sow, you reap. And so if you don't sow any mercy, how can you get mercy? How many understand that? And so this is important. And so I've been waiting for a time I can use his story about them trees. They look just, I mean, you can't tell. They just stalks with green leaves, right? They don't come like with a baby blood orange on it and you say, oh, I got this. No, they're just stalks with green leaves. They all look the same to me until the fruit comes. And the fruit will tell you. See what happens in the church is everything can look green. With stalks, but only fruit tells you where you are. That's it. When you're in a situation, how you're going to react is really going to say where you are in God. You can say, well, you know, you can come here and the song can start and hands can go up and tears can come down your face, but that doesn't mark where you are. What marks where you are is how much mercy you're willing to show when somebody does something to you. That's asking for a lot. Well, let me tell you, Jesus did it. After all, that's the one we say we're following. That's the one we're taking our example from. And so these are important principles that we have to make sure that we're understanding. There are various ways to express mercy. We are called to be tender toward those who mistreat us and complain against us, who annoy us, who are different, and who are less committed to God than we are. You ever met somebody like that? I may be in the wrong church today. I guess I'm at the right place. Think about that. Who makes mistakes, who stumbles in scandalous sin, especially those who suffer and are in great need due to poverty, sickness, oppression, persecution, or other trials? We are to help people in all these categories to feel accepted and valued by both God and His people. Now, what, do we do it with the unsanctified mercy? No. You can have mercy and still correct or make and say, look, you know, God loves you, but Remember the woman caught in the very act of adultery? Did Jesus have mercy on her? He sure did. But did he tell her, did he correct anything? He said, go and sin no more. You see? So you can't get mercy it's unsanctified mercy where anything goes. Well, don't worry about it. You can do wrong. God will have mercy. Or maybe behave that way yourself. I'm going to do whatever I want this week, and at the end of the week, I'll clear it all up with God. And he'll just fix it all for me. Be careful, because it's important that we understand what God is saying. Colossians 3:12-13 says, put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also. We have to do the same thing. So how many know when the disciples were there with Jesus and he's speaking into their lives and they ask him, well, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, when you pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. So what's Jesus' word? Remember what he said, these are not my words. So he's getting this direction from the Father. He's not making this stuff up as he goes. He's showing them how to pray. So when you pray, who do you pray to? The Father. It's clear. Listen, these are clear terms that Jesus speaks of. He said, when you pray to the Father. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then this little interesting part here, talking about forgiveness. Forgive us. Forgive our trespass as we forgive others. Wow. As we forgive others. And this verse in Colossians, I think, ought to help us here. It shares bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has complained against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also you and I must do the same thing. Because Christ has forgiven us. So it's important that we understand this part about mercy. And he said, the merciful shall obtain mercy. And I want you to understand that. So let's cover a couple of things. Number one, to those who mistreat us, Jesus calls us to give mercy to those who mistreat us by lying about maybe they lied about you or taking what is ours, our position, money, honor, people, etc. He calls us to give mercy to those who work closely with us, even if they speak untrue things about us. So how many's ever had this happen in your life? Maybe you're going through something in life, things are happening in your life, and somebody's done something, and they caused you a position. They caused you a position. That can really get to bothering you if they caused you a position. What if somebody cost you money? They caused you to lose money by saying something. What about not the honor? The honor. What about a person who's lied and said something untrue about you, and it caused other people to look differently at you? How many can honestly say when that happens, that gets to you? Right? Are y'all here? Yes. That happens and you go, and it gets to you. And see, that's a natural thing that happens when it gets to you, bothers you. Why would they say that? It happens on Facebook all the time. People get on there and they just, one will say a comment and the other one will comment about it. And before you know it, there's a whole forum of comments going on and I'm not your friend. There you go. I'll show them. You see, that's what happens. Where's the mercy? What happened to us? Let not light so shine before men that they may see the good works of the Father. Well, does it mean that when he says, see the good works of the Father? Does it mean that they're going to, get this vision of the Father doing something? The good works of the Father is what's produced in us through Christ. They see what's going on in our life. They see that when we could have reacted a way that was in the negative, we didn't. We didn't react that way. We could have. We could have reacted that way. Wow. You know, I get all these opportunities in my life, and I get a chance, and as I'm studying and preparing for different messages, I always ask the Lord, am I doing that? Am I really living that out? And what if that ever happens to me? What am I going to do? What's going to be my reaction? You know, what's going to be my response? There's this guy, I won't mention any name, but this is real people. Yes. And this is a guy, and he's known to be ugly, to say the least. Mm-hmm. You know, just rude, and he's in the same business that I'm in. And I've never had any encounter with him. I knew him when he was a little boy. I used to take his father and him fishing. I knew his father really good. And his father passed, and for whatever reason, I'm not sure what the guy's issue is, but he's mad all the time. I think he might look in the mirror sometime and go, "I'm mad at you." It appears that way. All the time. And I've heard stories where he has these run-ins with people and says ugly things and, you know, stuff happens. So, and you think about it, man, one day this guy just needs, somebody needs to just, to tell him. Well, here comes my opportunity. I have some property and I hear somebody shooting on the property. So they're poaching. How many know what poaching means? And they're trespassing. They shouldn't be there. So I don't know who it is, and I said, well, I'm by myself. I'm going to ease on over there after daylight. And I had put my customers out, and I'm going to see who it is. Clearly, they were on the property. And I said, well, so I'm thinking. I'll get by the boat, and the first thing I do is before everything gets, you know, I'm going to sit down, and I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to do this by your word. I'm going to do what you want me to do, not by what I want to do. I don't even know who it is. But I said, today, I'm going to practice mercy. That's what I'm going to do before I got there. All right? So I got daylight, and I said, well, I'm not even going to go right now. I'm going to wait them shoot first. And really, they locked in then. So I watched them behind the canes, and it's so, I feel like I'm in the police force, you know, and I'm undercover. And I'm looking like that, and I watch the gray duck. Pah! Douche! I crank the motor up, and I ease on over there and said, how y'all doing? Then I look, and it was the guy that don't need no mercy. Should never have mercy. Been ugly to everybody I ever knew. And I already made my little thing on the boat. And God says, you know, it's easy if you don't have to have any, you don't have to confront anything. It's easy, right? If it's a nice guy, it's easy. You reward nice with nice, right? You don't need mercy for that. That's it. You don't even need mercy. They're nice, you're nice. It's easy. But here's a guy. And I go, and I said this, you gotta be kidding me. I said it just like that. I don't know, he had to hear me. And I went, no way. So I already knew in my heart what I was gonna do, but I was, the whole conversation went on, and of course, in his only way, I guess, he knows how to react is he told me I was in the wrong place. So there, then I'm going, okay. My mercy was. You know, I'm trying to hold on to it all I can, you know. Don't go, mercy. It was slipping through my hands. I'm just telling my story because I know nobody in here has ever had this happen. I needed a story. And so my mercy's slipping, and it's gone. I mean, it's just about slipping out my hand. And then it keeps on and on. Talking about, I don't know where my line is and my boundaries, and I said, you know, however you want to do this, we can. It's up to you. We could do it any way you want. That's how I said it. Any way you want it. But little did he know, mercy was right there for him. But it was quickly fading. And then I had to just grab that. So I watched them. They picked up. And he kept, and he said, you're going to pursue this? Turn it in? We all going to get a ticket? And I said, we'll see. They picking up. And at the end, when everybody got their stuff, I called everybody over, four guys, and I said, listen, I'm not going to pursue this at all. I never had any intention to pursue it when I was on my way over here. I said, but I want you to know. And that's what I said. And I looked at him, I said, you ought to show the same and extend this same to other people that you encounter. That was my opportunity. Now, I could have took it personally. And it said, this is my job, this is my business. But I said that. I said, you need to remember today. Remember today. That's it. You remember it. And I'm in, you see. How many know what it means to be in? That means you're in, because I'm never going to have another meeting with that person without speaking to them. Because I'm in. I sowed a seed and I'm in. Now I'll be able to talk to them and ask them and say, hey, what about this? And that's what I would like to do. Why do we choose? Because it's our choice. Why do we choose to act in a way that we feel like we've been put towards us? Why would we do that? If I don't like it, why would I do it? Because remember, whatever you measure out gets measured back to you. Same measure you measure out. So if you show an inch of mercy, I'm going to give them some, but right there. See that one? That's it. That's all they get. Well, that's what you get. Sometimes you got to pull that tape out. If that's what you're expecting. Amen? Is this helping anyone? We're talking about the words of Jesus. This is what Jesus said. This will help you. And let me tell you, a lot of people struggle. Say, well, I try to go to church and I try to do right. But the moment I start trying, this person says this or that person says this. And I just get so aggravated. Well, this is how God helps people who get aggravated. You ever been? Hey, listen, look around in this room. Look at everybody. You're not the first person to get aggravated. Everybody's been there. Everybody's had stuff go on that just really got to them. But at the end of the day, we have to sit down and say, you know what, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have acted that way. And I thank you for being so wonderful to me that you gave me mercy and I want to do the same thing. Amen? Very important. This type of mercy is a work of grace in us that submits to Jesus' authority. It is more than natural kindness. How many understand what that means? It's more than just natural kindness. There's a lot of people who can have natural kindness but not show mercy. This is what it says in Matthew 5:44. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Wow. We may not find ourselves doing that on a daily basis. We might say a prayer every now and then about them. But are we doing that? Are we willing to do that? Love your enemies? You know, that takes practice. It's easy. Like if somebody does good for you, you naturally want to do good back for them. You do. They get something for you, you want to get something for them. They help you out, you want to go help them. It's a natural thing. But what about if you love your enemies? Bless those who curse you? Well, I heard so-and-so said that about me, but I pray the blessings of God on their life. That's not natural. Well, how does that happen? How does that come out of our mouth when we recognize what Christ did? Let me tell you what Christ did. When he looked at my life and all the sin and iniquity I had, he went before the Father. He said, God, give him a chance. Yeah. What we do is say, did you see him? Did you see what he did, how he acts? But Jesus, this is what he did. He went before the Father and he says, give him a break. I died for him. And I know he's got his problems. He's up and down. Can't make his mind up. But I'm asking you to extend mercy to him. And that's what the Father did. That's what we ought to be doing. That's what Jesus did. We ought to be doing that. So if somebody says something against you and it makes you mad, then that's just the facts. You know it made you mad. You know if you say that make you mad. No. Yeah, it made you mad. You want to strangle him if you can. If you could have got away with it, you'd have choked the life out of him. Because he was that mad. But then you got to realize, I'm going to be merciful. So you have that feeling, it comes all over you, you got to shake that off. You can't, because the moment you carry it around, it's going to destroy you and the people that you're trying to be a light to. They're going to see the same reflection that comes from that. You don't want that. Amen? And so we have to let go of that. We're talking about being merciful. And sometimes, you know, we talk about, and we're just dealing with this one verse today. There's a lot of stuff to understand about why Jesus said that. Why would he say it? And what was his message to get to us? Number two, to those who are suffering. To be merciful is to seek to help people who are suffering. God's mercy stirs our hearts and moves our hand to help those in need. Jesus gives an illustration of showing mercy in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Let's go to Luke 10. Luke chapter 10. We'll look at verse 25. Start with verse 25. And a lawyer stood up and put to the test, saying, he put him, talking to Jesus, put Jesus to the test. Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, so we know the subject here is that Jesus is going to deal with in his answers about what? Eternal life. So remember that. It's about eternal life. Because he's asking, what do I need to do to obtain eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? How does it read to you? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, these are the words of Jesus, you have answered correctly. How many see that? What did Jesus, reprove him? No, he said, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But, notice that next verse, wishing to justify himself, he didn't just leave it there, just talking about the lawyer, he said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Notice that. Who is my neighbor? Not leaving it alone, going a little deeper. How many know when you go a little deeper with Jesus, you get a little deeper answer? So he wouldn't leave it at that. He said, I'm going to go. Now, he knew who his neighbor was, but he was just trying to get. So he's about to get what he asked for. Jesus replied and said, now he's going to tell him about his neighbor. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers. They stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. He had mercy and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, poured oil and wine on them, and put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him. Whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you. Which of these 3 do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell to the robber's hands? And he said, this lawyer, the one who showed mercy toward him. Let me see that. The one who showed mercy toward him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. Go and do the same. So we understand when we're dealing with this word mercy, what he's expecting of us. He's expecting us, if it's within our means to do something, and we feel that. Some people say, well, you just don't know who to help anymore. Well, the Spirit will guide you. How many of you know that? You can be guided by the Spirit, but you have to have it in your heart to be wanting to do that. And if you do that and be sensitive to the power of God's Spirit moving in your life, you'll see and know when to do it and what God wants you to do. And it happens. Me and my wife has had this happen. I can't tell you how many times. Well, where the Lord will deal with both of us at the same time without a conversation. And the Lord will say, I want you to do this. And then we'll do it. You know, we'll pick up a tab, we'll pay something for somebody, pay their groceries, whatever it is. We don't sit down and say, okay, today what we're going to do is when we go to Walmart, we're just going to buy the person in front, behind, we're going to just buy the groceries. We don't do that. We're there and we're standing there, and all of a sudden my wife, she'll say, would you keep this and ring up all these groceries, and we'll leave. What, you think that bothers me? It don't bother me. I felt the same thing she felt. We sit in a restaurant, and we might be sitting next to somebody, and all of a sudden I'll say to the lady, bring me the ticket for that table. My wife doesn't say, that's $100. It's never happened. It's never happened. Why? Because we're flowing by the Spirit of God. We're going to impact somebody's life. We want to make a difference in somebody's life. If we're traveling overseas or whatever on missions and the Lord deals with me and says, listen, I want you to start this business for this pastor's wife or do this. We don't have conversations about that stuff. We got to flow. Listen, if she's doing what she's supposed to do in God and I'm doing what I'm doing, we're married, that thing's going to flow together. It's just going to work that way. And that's what you have to do that. You have to be, no matter, and listen, you might be on your way doing something that you have to do. But that's what God wants to do. One particular trip we was on, we were traveling, and my wife says, I want to stop right here, this next exit. This next exit, turn this. So I turned in the next exit. I said, where are we eating? She said, right there, at Ruby Tuesday. We pull in Ruby Tuesday, we sitting there. And our waiter comes. She comes to the table. The waitress comes there. And the moment she got to our table and put her hands on our table, we knew she was in some serious trouble emotionally. We knew it. She took our drink order and went. I said, baby, did you sense that? She said, I did. She said, we're gonna speak to her. Well, the next time she come out, she was squalling. We don't know what was going on, but we knew something was not right. So we just called over there and said, you know what? We're ministers in the Word of God, and we just want you to know that we're going to pray for you. And she just was overwhelmed with emotion. She said, I got to go. She went in the back for a while. And I can understand that. It was an embarrassing time for her. It's an open restaurant, and everybody's around, and the tables are full. And so what we did, we got some cash money together. And we knew instantly, we knew she was struggling, about to lose a job. And we told her, said, when she come back, we ministered to her and said, listen, you just put your faith in God. What church do you go to? What you think her answer was? I don't go to church. Well, you need to. I'm sure there's a bunch of them around here. We're not from here. We're just traveling. But there's churches all around here. There's good churches. Because let me tell you, how many know God is going to plant a good church somewhere? If you just got to know it, you got to be led by the Spirit of God. And I told her that. And I said, I guarantee there's somebody somewhere can help you. And we gave our number to her, and we blessed her. We blessed her with a good blessing, a real good blessing. Not, I'm talking about blessing, that her check couldn't cover. And she worked a week. And when she saw that, she was really emotional. She said, why in the world are y'all doing this? I said, it's because of Jesus. It's Jesus. He's been that good to us. He's loved me when I didn't need to be loved. He kept me when I needed to be thrown away, and he pulled me back in. It's the love of Jesus, and we're going to show you the same love. There's something, listen, you and I have to, you don't have to know the people. You know, it's easy to help somebody you know, but you don't have to know them. You just got to be willing to be led by the Spirit of God. He said, blessed are the merciful. They'll obtain mercy. That's what he said. And you got to put yourself in those positions where you're willing to do that. Where you're willing to say, I'm gonna do that. I'm going to extend myself. And so just be available. If you listen to the Spirit, and it didn't happen every time we go somewhere. It doesn't. And we told God a long time ago, it's all yours anyway. We're stewards. We're just going to do whatever you ask us to do. And we get to enjoy it as we're doing it. He loves for us to enjoy ourselves and buy things that we like to do. You think God's against that? He loves that. But at the same time, you got to be willing to say, God, I surrender it all to you. If you ask for all of it, that's what I'll do. It doesn't make a difference because if God puts you there, he can get you back there again. You just got to learn to trust him. So remember, blessed are the merciful. They'll obtain mercy. That's what the man did. He said, well, I don't know this guy, but they beat him up pretty bad, and I'm going to help him. I'm not going to leave him there all beat up. I'm going to bring him and get him some help here. He didn't know him. He was a stranger, but he reached out. And so that's Jesus giving a story. He said, and he asked the man, he said, well, which one you think showed mercy? Which one you think? He said, well, obviously this guy. He said, well, you go do the same thing. These are the words of Jesus. He tells us, do the same thing. So any opportunity, you know, listen, let me tell you what you don't do. You know, I can share a story like that, and it's called inspiration. It inspires people. So you're going to go to the restaurant the next time you from inspiration and do something. You don't do it by inspiration. You do it because the Spirit of the Lord said do it, because then it's pinpointed by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what happened. They had people that was in school, and they was in this faith school, well-known faith school, and they're ministers. These are ministers. And the preacher gets up and he says, well, bless the Lord. The Lord told me to give my car away. And I gave my car away. And after I gave my car, a lady come up to him and gave me the keys to a brand new van. Well, it inspired everybody. All went and gave the cars away and they walked to school for the rest of the year. You know, don't do things because you've been inspired to do them. Do them because you've been led by the Spirit of God. Do you understand that? Every one of them gave the car away and said, well, I'm going to get me a new car. I'm giving this junk away. I'm getting me a new one. That preacher got one. I'm getting one. That's absolutely crazy to think that way. So you don't do things because you have heard some inspirational thing. You do it because the Spirit of the Lord led you to. You have the same connection. If the Spirit of God deals with you to do it, then you do it. When you do it, you're going to see the Lord move mighty for you. Amen? So remember that. I figured I'd just throw that in because I know what happens when people hear stuff like that. In John, 1 John 3:17 says this, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love or the mercy of God abide in him? It's a great question. If you have these world's goods, meaning you've been successful, you've reached some success in your life in this world, and you see somebody that is in need, sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love or mercy of God abide in him? So keep that verse in mind when you're doing your study. Number three, we have to go quickly here. To those who stumble in scandalous sin. That's difficult to be merciful, right? Those who stumble in scandalous sin. To be merciful to people who experience significant spiritual failure. Anybody ever meet anybody like that? They've experienced significant spiritual failure, but what do? Have mercy. To cover people's failure and tenderly seek to help them. It causes us to sympathize with those who deserve the trouble that they are in. Anybody here ever deserved the trouble that you were in? And we know everybody else deserves the trouble they're in. We know that. So that we all deserve the trouble we were in. But we have to have mercy. It's not easy. Let me tell you, you say, okay, this guy deserves this trouble he's about to get. Right? Like the guy, you know, he's like, he's just standing there in this duck blind going. And he deserves the trouble he's in. I know that. But I have now an opportunity, right? I have an opportunity. What am I going to do? And it's the same thing with you. Don't take pleasure. Don't take pleasure when somebody gets what they deserve. Maybe you've said that before. They got what they deserve. Think about that. Philippians 1:9-10 says, and this I pray that you love, that your love may abound still more and more. Talking about the mercy. In real knowledge and all discernment. So that you may approve the things that are excellent. In order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ. Very important. The next one. We typically give mercy to the measure that we understand that we have received it from God. When we lack mercy, it is a sign that we do not clearly see the mercy that God has given us. And that's very important to understand. When we lack mercy, it is a sign that we do not clearly see the mercy that God has given us. Because the moment you see the mercy God has bestowed upon our lives, you're going to automatically kick in to be an ability to have mercy on others. He's been merciful to me. I know that. Nobody in this room knows that better than I do. And nobody knows it better than you do if you are honest that God has been merciful to you. If He would judge us according to our sins, judge us according and not give us any break. How many in here, if you didn't get any break, would it, you'd be in trouble? Think about it. But listen, He was merciful to us. So let me tell you, it's not easy. And I know it's not. I know it's not. Because you go, they've done it again. And there'll be a price to be paid for that. You can't stop it. I can't stop that price to be paid. It's between the one that they broke whatever it is against. But you got to be careful that you're not having a party and so happy that they finally got it. You got to be careful in there. Does that make sense? When we think we have been treated unfairly and being overlooked by God and His people, then we are not able to be genuinely gracious toward others. The fuel that helps us resist our natural anger and annoyance towards others is gratitude for receiving mercy that we do not deserve. Just remember that. We have each received far more forgiveness after we were born again than we perceived. Can anybody relate to that? After you were born again, not before. Before, we know it, we were in trouble, right? After we were born again, I want to ask this question. Is anybody in here, after you were born again, did you receive mercy? After you were born again. After. And so remember that. So He extended mercy to us the very first time. Then we knew Him. Then we know Him. He's so good to us, and we feel the goodness of God. But then we do something again after. And you still had a visitation, still had an encounter. Isn't that great? God is good to us. Does that mean He neglects what I've done wrong and says, well, you wronged it? No, I'll pay a consequence for that. That's why He said, if you sin. If you sin, after you're saved, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. He's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So we have to keep those things in mind when we're dealing with other people. Because it's important to keep that as the thing that guides us or sets the parameters in which what our words are going to be. How we're going to treat other people and what comes out of our own mouth. Justice gives what we deserve and mercy receives what we do not deserve. Justice gives what we deserve. Mercy receives what we do not deserve. God always gives at least what we deserve because He is just. He is a just God. Yet, He is free to give more than what we deserve. Uh-oh. So, what does that mean? That means this. And keep this in mind. God is a just God. He cannot overlook sin. I don't care who it is that does it. I mean, understand that. He will never overlook my sin. My sin is my sin, and God is a just God. He's not going to say, well, it's Jesse, it's okay. I'm going to be, listen, He's a just God, and my sin, whatever I've committed, before I was saved, after I was saved, all in between, He's a just God, and He will call it sin, and I will get what I deserve for that sin. Now, here's where the mercy kicks in. But He's also a merciful God. He can give more mercy on me than my sin could ever handle and just covers it up with mercy. Does that make sense to you? How many thank God that your sins have been covered up with mercy? Your iniquity has been covered up with mercy. And that's the same thing we have to extend to us. How do you get mercy? Be merciful. Be merciful. So he's freed. Our life is so full of God's mercy in receiving so much more than we really deserve. I thank him for it. We can easily overlook the fact that we do not deserve the house, car, possession, or position that we have. Are y'all here? That's true. We easily can overlook that. You think we deserve that? Well, I got it because I deserve it. I worked hard. Well, bless your darling heart. You might have worked hard, but never forget that you did enough wrong in the sight of God that God could have stripped it all from you. You got it because he's been merciful to you. He's been merciful to me. I don't deserve anything I got. And I work hard. I don't deserve anything. I got it because of his mercy and his grace all in my life, and I thank him for it every day. I appreciate him for it. I wouldn't have the mind to be able to put words together if it wouldn't be for the mercy of God. I wouldn't have the strength to get my head off the pillow in the morning if it wouldn't be for the mercy of God. God's been good to me, and I thank him for it. How many appreciate God's goodness? See, a lot of times we don't know what, I want to pray, but I just don't know what to pray for. Man, we have so much to be thankful for. And it's very important that we understand these principles. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 1 through 16, I'd like you to take some time to look at that. I think it's an important passage of Scripture. We'll maybe take a little bit, a look at some of it. Matthew chapter 20, you can go there. We're almost done. Matthew chapter 20, verse number 1. He says this, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning and hired laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing in the marketplace. And to those he said, 'You are also to go in the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' And they went. And again, he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around and said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day long?' They said unto him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'Go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired in the first, they thought that they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, 'The last man have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the scorching heat of the day.' But he answered and said to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to the last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is it your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last.'" So look at this incredible story. And we see something very important. So think about, and let me tell you, you say, well, this doesn't really happen a lot. It does. It happens more than you'd think. A person could be in church for a very long time. They could maybe been committed to church, committed to serving God. And they've been through it all. I mean, they was there at ground level when there was nothing, and they labored and they were here. Let me just give you an example. In 1987, we came around the January time, we came and acquired this property. And so I've been here since then, and some of you have. You've been here, and so you've seen all of the struggles and the trials and the hardship and the difficult times of just getting this thing together. And then you were here all that time, and Katrina come and wiped it all out, and you were here through all of this rebuild and all that, and you've seen that. And so you can get to a point where you think, well, I was here from the beginning. What does that mean? Do you, like, deserve something better? Do you understand that? See, you got to understand what mercy is all about. God puts in places and awards. He's the one that takes care of that. So the landowner says, why? Listen, when I come, I started out, and I'm living for the Lord, and I know what he guarantees me. If I'm faithful, I get eternal life. Remember, we're dealing with eternal life. So I'm faithful. And then somebody comes in, and they just got here. Well, they get eternal life. Well, they weren't here when we started. You see? And this is what he's saying. He said, why are you doing that? Why would you get all worked up? If I hired you and I told you what I was going to give you when you started, the first guy in the marketplace said, I'm going to give you a denarius. Will you? I'll do it for a denarius. But he changed his mind because what did he want? What did he want? He wanted, well, I was here from the very start. We worked all through the day and it was hot. And this guy comes and there was only a couple of hours left of work. And he worked only 2 hours and you gave him a denarius. Did you get less than what you agreed for? No. See, we agree for it, but somehow because we look at somebody else and they are getting equal to us, we feel like we got shortchanged. You agreed to it. And listen, if we're dealing with eternal life, if you agree for eternal life, what else you want? Huh? You like want two eternal lives? That doesn't make sense. You got eternal life. It's all you can, listen, it's everything. You have eternal life. And so the guy that comes much later, 30 years later, and he gives his heart to God, and he gets eternal life. Well, yeah. It's called the mercy of God. He does what he wants with his own stuff. And I'm all for it. I love it. Amen? So don't go counting how long you've done something to obtain what God has given to you. It was something you agreed to. And that's important. It's very important. So I think that these are valuable principles that we looked at today when it deals with mercy. If you want mercy, you have to give mercy, and these are important areas. And this is a last thing. The measure of our gratitude is the measure of our understanding of the mercy that we receive. The measure of our anger is the measure of our lack of understanding of the mercy that we receive. And I'm telling you, this is important. If the more you think about the mercy that God has had on your life, I guarantee you, you're going to have more mercy. It's just a natural thing that's going to happen. When you think about what he's done for you, you're going to have more mercy. If you lack thinking about what God has done for you, you're not going to have a lot of mercy. You just won't. So the next time the wife, the husband, or the children are acting up, have mercy. You say, because God has had mercy on me when I act up, when I do what I do. He's been merciful to me. So extend mercy. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Amen? Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. In Micah, the last verse, 7:18, in the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 18, it says, who is a God like you, pardoning our iniquity and passing over the transgressions of the remnant? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He delights in mercy. How many are thankful for that? And so my prayer is today that you and I, we can understand why Jesus said what he said. Remember, Jesus said, these words are not mine. There's a clear distinction between the Most High God, the Father, and the Son. Clear distinction. Jesus said, I'm not here to do my will, but his will. Remember that. Not my will. How many know Jesus had his own will? He had his own will. The will that Jesus had was his own. Belonged to him. He could have decided to be obedient or be disobedient. but he went to be obedient because he was serving the Lord. So I want you to keep this in mind as we continue in this series tonight. We're going to be continuing. We're going to be looking at the pure in heart. The pure in heart. How many know that the pure in heart shall see God? See God. That's a powerful one, isn't it? The pure in heart. When Jesus said that, they must have said, "I thought, well, we might as well forget that." See? Remember the crowd he's talking to. He said, "The pure in heart shall see God." When you hear that, what do you think? Do you think you fit that category? The pure in heart shall see God? Well, I can tell you there's some stuff available to help us understand that. And so I want to encourage you tonight. We're going to be continuing in that. I want you to continue in the information that you have. Go back, read this information, and we're going to just pray and ask God that these things become real to us. Amen. Let's stand together. I want to give God the glory and all the praise today. He truly deserves it. I want you to know today is an opportunity that God gives us to come and be in his presence. You're standing here today and you know the word that's went forth. Whatever it's done to your life, whatever it's encouraged you to do, whatever it's pricked your heart to do, to make any adjustments, you can do that. You can do that right where you're standing. You can do it on your way home. You can do it when you get home. You can do it tomorrow. Whatever it is, it's up to you. You can allow it to be taken from you, or you can say, you know what, I'm going to take this information and I'm going to do something with it. I want to be a person God wants me to be. I want to live the life he wants me to be. Sometimes you wear yourself slap out just trying to be something for somebody else. Why don't you just do what God wants you to do? And the way you do that, you surrender your life to him. You say, God, I want to surrender my life to you. I want to give you my life. I don't want to try to do it on my own. I know and realize now without you assisting me every day that I'm going to make a failure of it. But if you assist me, I'll experience your mercy. I'll experience your grace, and it'll help me through it all. And that's what God wants to do. So we're going to pray. As we close this service, we're going to pray and ask God's the anointing of the Word of God to go forth in our life and to break every yoke, remove every burden, and open up our understanding clearly that we can live out what God has shared with in his Word. Amen? Father, we just thank you for today. I thank you for every person that is here. We want to honor you. We want to give you the glory and the praise because truly you deserve it all. We lift you up and we thank you for being a wonderful Father to us, one that has shown us the way. And you've given us that opportunity because of your only Son. You've given us that opportunity to know you through what Jesus has paid for at Calvary. He died for our sins. He rose again and is at the right hand of the Father, and we thank you for that. We honor you for it. Now, I just pray, Lord, the words that were spoken here today, God, that which needed to be said, let it go on good ground. Anything, God, anything that was unnecessary, any word that I spoke, God, that did not give glory and honor to you, I pray, God, that it take no root, have no authority and power to bring any confusion or anything to anybody's life. I ask you, God, anything that I may have said wrong or inappropriate would fall and not survive. It would have no root whatsoever. But the things that you orchestrated, the things that you anointed, the things, God, that you declared, and they were said here today, I pray that they take root and it bring forth fruit in the lives of your people. We thank you for that. God, I pray right now that we can have mercy. And the way we have it, Father, is by showing mercy. And I'm asking you, Lord, help us. There's things, Lord, that clearly we don't understand about this. When we think about the words of Jesus, it just amazes me. And I'm asking you right now, help us. You said that blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And we want that mercy. God, so I'm asking you, Lord, help us to be merciful. God, I pray right now in the life life of every person that's here, God, that merciful spirit would just rest upon each one. Lord, in any situation that we had in our past, anything that's right now actively going on, or anything in the future that we may face, that we have to show forth this mercy, I pray, Lord, that an anointing come upon our lives to do just what you've asked us to do. I pray, Lord, for each person that is in this room. God, each person, Lord, that you would keep them, protect them, watch over them. And Lord, as we continue to do what you called us to do and allow your word to become real to us, Lord, that it would just open up an understanding and that we can accomplish that which you've asked us to do. I pray, Lord, any encounter that we may have in the days ahead, Lord, that we, no matter what it is that we go through, that you would help us be able to live out these wonderful principles that Jesus shared. We honor you today and we thank you. I pray for those, Lord, that are here today that maybe they're not feeling well in their body. We pray the healing hand of the Lord Jesus be upon their lives. We thank you for it, God. Touch their bodies right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. We give you the glory and the praise, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, God bless you. We love you. Thank God for each one of you. We appreciate you for being in God's house with us today. We're just so thankful for all of you. And remember tonight's service, you come expecting the Lord to do great things in